Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today, we're going to study John chapter 13, verses 36 to 38. John chapter 13, verses 36 to 38. Now, keep in mind this topic while we read, thrice denied, thrice denied. Let's read John chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Now listen, Peter wanted to follow him, and he wanted to follow him now. And the Lord said, You'll have to wait. Thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter didn't want to wait. You know, you and I have got to give God time to work things out whenever we ask for something or whenever we've been promised something in the Bible. But you also have to realize that during that time, we can get in trouble. Now, you're saved, Lord willing. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you're saved, you're going to have to give God time to work things out. For instance, you're not going to get to heaven until you die, or until the rapture comes, and it hasn't happened yet, and so you're going to have to wait. But in the meantime, you've got to realize that something bad can happen to you during that period of time. And throughout the Bible, we see examples of a very common problem that we have in human nature. The problem is that we are very zealous for the Lord until something comes up that we didn't expect, and then all of a sudden, we find ourselves running away from the Lord as fast as we can. In other words, this zeal that we have for the Lord can play out during the time that God is working out whatever happens. I mean, most of the time, what God is doing is letting you have the full span of your life, and during the full span of your life, something bad can happen that causes you to lose your zeal for the Lord. Now here, in the life of Peter, we see this very thing. Peter was always, always zealous for the Lord. You'll remember certain events in Peter's life that are recorded in the Gospels. For instance, one time, Jesus Christ asked his disciples, Whom do men say that I am? And they said, Well, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Elias, and some say you're that prophet. He said, Well, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't hesitate. God Almighty revealed that to Peter, and without waiting for approval from his friends that were disciples, he jumped right in there, and he told him, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Just wham, like that. And that's because Peter was very zealous. He was always quick to reply when he was on sure footing, and even when he didn't know what he was doing, you know, he'd jump right in there. I mean, Jesus said, I'm going to go die. And Peter said, No, you're not. I mean, he jumped right in there and rebuked the Lord for what was coming in the crucifixion. One time, some Pharisees cornered Peter, trying to find a way to use his testimony to get at Jesus Christ. And they said, does your master pay tribute? And Peter jumped right in there and he said, Well, of course he does. Well, the children were free. They didn't have to pay tribute. And so Jesus prevented him when he walked in the door and he said, What do you think? And, well, Peter said, No, the children don't have to pay. He said, Well, go catch a fish, and first fish that you catch, reach down in his mouth and there'll be a silver coin, and go pay for you and for me. One time Jesus Christ is walking on the water after an all-night prayer meeting with his Father, and the disciples have been out there most of the night rowing, hadn't gone very far, been a very difficult night because of a big storm that came up, and when they saw Jesus, they were scared. And Jesus told him, hey, don't be worried about it. It's me. And Peter said, then bid me come unto thee on the water. And the Lord said, come on. And so he stepped out there and walked on the water. So, and of course, then he fell in after that. Now, Peter was always very, very zealous to jump right in there and do something great for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was right on top of things and quick always to demonstrate his zeal. And sometimes, particularly in the life of new Christians, you'll find people that get on fire for God. People get on fire for God. They really, really want to do something for the Lord. And you know something? It's easy to find yourself in exactly the same situation that Peter found himself in this text. He says, man, I want to go with you. I want to go with you now. He said, you have to wait. He said, man, I'm ready to lay down my life for you now. What are you talking about? He said, cock's going to crow twice before you, and then you're going to deny me three times. Peter, you know, just flabbergasted. Can't be. Can't be. You know, when young, zealous Christians get on fire for God, we look at them and we marvel. Some of us have been there ourselves, and we think, oh, boy, this could be a bottle rocket here. This thing could shoot straight up and explode and come right back down and never do anything for the Lord. Peter's a good example of that here. He wanted to go with Jesus, and if that meant dying, he was willing to die. I will lay down my life for thy sake. Nothing's going to stop me, Lord. Not even the desire to stay alive. And you know something? I believe that Peter meant it. I believe you believe that too. Peter was very sincere in his testimony. However, he didn't count on the Lord not defending himself in Gethsemane. That was the problem, see? All things being equal, if the Lord had fought against his men that came in there to arrest him, and the disciples had had the opportunity to die fighting for Jesus Christ, Peter would have done it. I believe that. But it didn't work out quite like Peter expected, and it took him by surprise. Now look at the setup for what was about to happen. This is something that Peter didn't count on, and truthfully, in your life as a Christian, listen, I'm probably talking to somebody right now that was very zealous early on in your Christian life. You were very zealous to do something great for God when you first got started. And now you sit at home and listen to Christian radio to get your preaching because you will not dare set foot in a church. You had a bad experience in a church. You were very zealous. You used to witness. You used to tell people about Jesus Christ, and now you've lost your zeal, and as far as you know, you'll never get it back the way you had it before. You've been burned. And you think by watching a little TV and listening to a little radio that God Almighty is going to sort of look the other way in your case and let you get off scot-free without having to serve the body of Christ and serving the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Evidently, perhaps you went through an experience like Peter did, and truthfully, your bitterness is not against men, but down deep, it's against the Lord. He threw you a curve. Something happened you didn't expect, and God Almighty could have prevented it like you know He could have, and right now you're holding it out on God, like Peter ended up doing in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's look at the setup. I'll show you. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, look at verse 31. Now the Lord warned Peter. He said, Simon, Luke 22:31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know something? You've been told by the Lord God Almighty to be very careful. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Remember that? Seeking whom he may devour. You know you have an adversary. And you know that he'll come after you and get you. But you've kind of discounted that. And Peter discounted it. Satan have desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. They knew what he was facing in Jerusalem. They knew that those men wanted to kill Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to Peter, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny me thrice, that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, now watch this, here's the setup. When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? They said nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. In other words, he's warning them that he's fixing to get taken. They said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. He said unto them, it is enough. So they had some self-defense there. They had two swords. Now you see the setup? The Lord said, these things have got to happen just like it was said of me. But he said, you better take some swords. So Peter goes into the Garden of Gethsemane of a mind that he's going to have to defend the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does he do in prayer time? He falls asleep. Remember that? Three times the Lord went away to pray, and three times Peter fell asleep. Remember that? That was a problem. He slept through the prayer meeting. And he was not prepared for the temptation that was about to befall him. Go to John chapter 18. When they came in looking for Jesus Christ, Peter, in his zeal to serve the Lord, in John 18, verse 10, said this, Simon Peter, having a sword, he was one of them, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And then they led him away, bound him and led him away. Ooh, boy. You know what? That got old Peter. Peter was always the first one to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was willing to die and willing to go to prison. And Jesus had just warned them before the prayer meeting, you better take some swords with you. And they said, we have two. He said, that's enough. Peter was one of the ones with a sword. He intended to use that thing. And they came in to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. And he pulled that sword and knocked that high priest's ear off. And Jesus said, put it up. Put it up. And rebuked him. You know old Peter. In his old mind, he said to himself, if that man wants to die that bad, then let him. He'd been telling Jesus since Matthew chapter 16 not to die. And when Peter tried to defend him, Jesus rebuked him, and that hurt him. Okay, you want to die that bad? Go ahead. I tried to help you, but no, you wouldn't take the help. So, when the little maid came by and said, you know him? Yeah, he knew him. But he was upset because they were getting ready to kill his king, kill the Savior, kill the Lamb of God, kill his friend. And Jesus didn't do anything to defend himself and rebuked Peter when Peter tried to defend him. He said, I don't know him. Three times he denied him, just like it was prophesied. Now, we'll deal with the particulars of that denial when we study John chapter 18. The thing is, Peter never would have imagined a time in his life when he would have denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. But he discounted the devil, and he discounted the Word of God, because Jesus Christ had told him over and over again in the Bible, it was prophesied, these things had to come to pass. And so Peter, not recognizing that he had this adversary, the devil, and that he rejected the Word of God, it got him. And slept through the prayer meeting. He was had, man. Let me tell you something. Right now, if you will go back in your life to that very bitter experience that you have had with the Lord or with the Lord's people, a lot of times this comes at the hand of God's people, somebody you know turned on you, or something happened bad in church, you discounted your adversary, the devil. You discounted that God said, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That Peter told you you were going to bear some reproach for Jesus Christ. That the word of God sown on stony ground cannot endure affliction for the word of God's sake. You forgot those verses. You forgot that you were to wear the whole armor of God, and that one of the main pieces was the shield of faith, which is used to quench the fiery darts of the devil. You forgot that. You forgot that you were going to go through a trial of affliction, a fiery trial. And you went through it, and you forgot to go to a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and instead you slept through, too tired on Wednesday night when you got home from work. And now you're in trouble, because the zeal that you once had for God is gone, and you don't know why. Go back to the experience that got you off track, and you'll see it. What you'll see is that what happened to you is the same thing that happened to Peter. You were zealous for the Lord, and a bad experience happened, just like it did for Peter, and the last thing that you ever imagined happening was you denying the Lord, getting out of church, going off on your own, and you did it. You did it. Peter's zeal played out after the event in the Garden of Gethsemane, but let me tell you something. Peter got going again, but a lot of folks don't. And right now, as I preach this message to you, my desire is to encourage you to get back going again. You've got to. You got to get up out of the ditch, dust yourself off, and get back going for God. He said, but preacher, you don't understand. Man, I've really messed up my life. I've gotten into a marriage I shouldn't have and got off drinking some booze and put myself in a world of debt. Well, boy, that is bad. Now you've compounded the problem. And let me tell you something. If you will get back right with God, God can turn that thing around. Listen, after all, Peter denied him three times, and the Lord restored him into fellowship. Listen, if you'll restore yourself into fellowship with God, God can help you work back through some of this stuff. I grant you that he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. It'll be a battle, but Paul did say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now consider some of these men who didn't get it right with God. Go back there to the Old Testament and you remember a character named Joab. He was David's general. Very, very zealous for the Lord. Very, very zealous for David. That guy was a military genius, man. David one time was being attacked by two armies, and so Joab said, okay, I'll get my brother Abishai here. You take this group, I'll take this group, and we'll go to fight. And if the Ammonites are too strong for thee, we'll come over and help thee. And if the Syrians are too strong for me, you come over and help me. And I mean, they went into war. That kind of stuff is a strategy that was used right on, is used up on up to this day. What you do is you set up your perimeter defense, and then you go to battle, and wherever there's need, you send in reinforcements to strengthen the line. Joab, that defense is recorded there in Joab's battle. Oh, he was zealous, man. He'd go out and fight for things. I mean, one time he was taking a city, and he said to David, you better come over here and take this city, or else they're going to crown me with the king's crown. Oh, he was zealous for David. Man, he was a general fighter. But let me tell you something. He had a streak in him that was a streak of self-will. David said, now when you guys find Absalom, don't you kill him. Joab found Absalom, and he said, kill that sucker. Hanging in a tree, killed him. Word got back to David. David was so upset that when Solomon took the throne, he said, you make sure that Joab doesn't live to see daylight. You kill him. And Joab went and he held on to the horns of the altar, and finally, Benaiah had to go in there and kill Joab hanging on to the altar under Solomon's reign, because the guy went wicked. You know what he did? He got so mad with David, he left David and joined forces with a rival kingdom set up by Adonijah, David's son. That was not God's selection. Solomon was the selection. Set up a rival kingdom with Adonijah and tried to overthrow, treason, the kingdom of David. Joab did that. What happened? Well, he got upset with David. David wasn't a perfect man. You know, the problem with Bathsheba, Joab knew about that. Numbering the people of Israel, Joab knew about that, and 70,000 people died. He gave up on David, got mad at him, got bitter with him, and set up by treason a rival kingdom under Adonijah, and he ended up losing his life. Never did get right with God in that thing. Never did get right with David in that thing. Never got right with Solomon in that thing. Just gave up, lost his zeal for the things of God. Why? Didn't turn out like he thought it should. David disappointed him, so he became David's enemy. What about Solomon? Oh, what a tragic story. Zealous for God, built the temple, built the ivory palace, built the house of the forest, built the house for Pharaoh's daughter, his wife, had all that stuff that he was doing in there, richest, wisest man ever known to mankind in this earth, tremendous king. What happened? Married multiple wives that drew his heart away after their idols and died in idolatry. Ruined that kingdom. What happened? Well, he rejected the word of God, didn't realize the power of the devil. What did we say? Slept through the prayer meeting? God warned them back in Deuteronomy chapter 17, don't multiply gold, don't multiply horses out of Egypt, and don't multiply wives. Solomon did every single one of those things, lost his zeal for God Almighty, and died in idolatry with a split kingdom under Rehoboam. Boy, that was a tragedy. What a tragedy. After the way God blessed him, but that's the way he went. Never did get that thing right with God. How about Asa, one of the kings of Judah, great king, man, ran the Sodomites out, told anybody, you build an idol in here, you die. Great king. Then all of a sudden, one day, Baasha, the king of Israel, decided he wanted to attack Judah, and Asa got scared. Asa had already seen God bless him over and over and over again, got scared. Took the silver and the gold out of the temple, rang up his old friend, the king of Syria, shouldn't have been his friend. Those are enemies of God. Ben-Hadad, he said, hey, Ben-Hadad, I'm going to give you some money. You and I are buddies. Make a league with me and break your league with Israel and come down here and go to fighting against Israel and save us. And he did. Ben-Hadad attacked Baasha, cleared him out of there, and the attack was broken off on Judah, and so Judah was spared. It looked like Asa did a great thing. However, God sent a prophet to him in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. He said, Asa, you really messed up here, boy. Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. You ever find yourself in a situation like that? Quit leaning on the Lord. You start leaning on men. Reject the word like Asa did. Forget that you have an adversary of the devil. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Great battle. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Asa was wroth with the seer, put him in prison house. He was in the rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Then he got sick in his feet. You know what? In his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And he died in the 140th year of his reign. It was a tragedy. An absolute tragedy. That king had everything going for him, and God Almighty fought wars for him. But in the end, he ended up locking up the man of God. Got mad with the Lord because of the message he gave him. All because he wouldn't trust God when he hired Ben-Hadad to fight Ben-Baasha, king of Israel. See how sad those things are? Your life can end the same way. You see, Peter got right with God. Jesus Christ came to him like he's coming to you right now. He said, Peter, do you love me? And I ask you right now, friend, do you love the Lord? See, his eyes are go to and fro in all the earth because he knows your heart. Do you love him? He asked Peter three times, do you love me? Peter said, finally, he said, Lord, you know everything. Of course I love you. He said, all right, then feed my sheep. Do you love him? Then you're going to have to get right with him. Look, John Mark went off with Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary trip and defected halfway through the trip. When Barnabas said, Paul, let's take him with us again, Paul wouldn't have any part of it. So Paul ended up taking Silas. Barnabas ended up taking John Mark. Years later, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, bring Mark, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Old Mark got that thing right with God, and old Mark got that thing right with Paul. Maybe your problem is with a man, and it's affected your relationship to the Lord. Do you love Jesus Christ? Then, like Peter, get the thing right with him. Peter had denied the Lord. The Lord said, do you love me? He said, feed my lambs. And Peter was given the opportunity to preach that great message in Acts chapter 2 where 3,000 souls got saved that day. God's got a job for you to do, but you're going to have to get on your knees before the Lord God and tell him, look, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've gotten to this place where I denied you, had gotten backslidden and got out of church. I'm going to get my heart right with God. I'm going to reaffirm my love for you. And if I've offended somebody like John Mark offended Paul, I'm going to get that thing straightened out with him. And I'm not going to let this thing end in disaster. By God's grace, I'm going to get up and get the victory like Peter did. And I'm going to go on for God. I'm sorry I made a mess of it. I'm sorry I lost my zeal, but I'm going to return to my zeal, and I'll do those things that are pleasing for Thee, O God. Boy, I'll tell you, that's our prayer for you today. Pray you get your heart right with God. You might have messed up like old Peter did, but Peter got that thing straightened out, and you can too, and get right back on with the zeal you once had for God. That's our prayer.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.